Debbie Hamilton, excuse me. No. I'm sorry.
How is it that Flint and Debbie are so close to certain ones that literally to the helping of managing their portions of the corporate seminar?
Probably because they've gone to... They have attended, I think, probably four different programs in the past.
Okay.
And have a relationship with the company through entities that they formed.
All right. Because you know that on the outside, there are other connections that have been very, very much associated with the very ones that are giving great, great trouble here. I hope that if you're not aware of that, you better be made aware of it before you leave today or get in touch with someone around here after you get back. They were very, very close with Enz's. When Enz left there, left the farm, he mailed the keys and things after they were located back to Hamilton's. Hamilton still have property out at the farm. It's inoperable, and literally the agreement had been to pay Hamilton's, but with the sale of the equipment, Enz took the money. So you're going to find, and I'm sorry that the hurt always goes far deeper than the first shocker. So you're going to find that there is some interchange here. And whatever information you might be getting over there is seeping back and seeping through. And there is more to the Betty Tootin setting up an agency and so forth than you might be aware. So keep your eyes open. It's all part of the same thing, no matter how much you would like to believe it separate. Now, have the attorneys drawn up anything as to case structure? You know, that will say, we want an injunction because.
The case structure was drawn up by myself before I met with the attorneys. And as I left the attorneys...
Give him, could he have the mic?
The entire complaint was pre-drawn for the attorneys before I ever met with the attorneys under auspices of my paralegal situation.
Okay.
And they included causes of action for unfair methods of competition, unfair competition, theft of trade secrets, and on a variety of causes of action, including damages and all types of injunctive relief. Relief based upon the fact that all this wrongful conduct in contacting present employees, theft of monies, theft of corporate secrets, everything. It was a terrible case of deceit, treachery, and unfair methods of competition. I hope everybody recognized that these six affidavits that were read recognize the value of those affidavits when they're all put together. When those affidavits are put together, they're unbeatable, they're impenetrable. The three of us did an absolutely brilliant job of locating people, digging out from persons every little bit of information that they had, and then dropping out the stuff that wouldn't affect the judge and just leave a compact, concentrated story that would not only allow the judge to, with good conscience, sign an injunction order, a restraining order, orders to return the bonus monies, order to return all the documents, the stolen copies, the copy things, but also to put us in a position where we would not have to post a very high bond. You have to post a bond for an injunction, and the judge has total discretion on the amount of that bond. And at times, if he takes the view that, well, you got a new business starting out here, I'm not going to be the one to stop the business, he can post a very high bond. To counteract that abilities of the judge to post a very high bond, we went to extensive trouble to have conversation after conversation with these persons who gave their affidavits, to do everything possible that we could to drain from them every bit of of information that they could honestly say that, yes, they saw or they heard. That was the final summation of everything that they knew, and yet not put them in a position where they could lie or distort anything, because we would not want to be a party to that. So in my opinion, the 6 affidavits that were read are the most compelling, the most complete, and could not be more perfect.
Well, we're not going to argue perfect or complete or anything, because it's the paperwork that goes to the judge that we want to play with. And don't even accept the fact against yourself. This is you're still dealing in Admiralty Court. We're still trying to figure out how better can we serve and cover ourselves as parties or people, as citizens. Citizen and party, I think, is what you're calling it, and there are preceding words that fit that. So you're having problems now with attorneys. Already you've got problems with attorneys, haven't you?
Yes and no. The particular attorneys that we went to were somehow indebted.
That sounded like an attorney's answer.
Yeah.
We'll stop with a yes.
No. It's a damnedest situation that I seem to find myself in every once in a while. It's very awkward. The attorneys that I referred to were somehow indebted to NCH in the amount of some $26,000 or something like that, involving a transfer or ownership of some funny money. You're going to have to explain that funny money stuff. But I could right away see the resentment on the part of these attorneys that their payback in the funny money was somewhat restricted. And there was a barrier there. One thing I learned from hundreds and hundreds of jury trials and questioning hundreds and hundreds of juries, potential jurors, is I can immediately sense a vibration of negative thoughts. So I very quickly recognized that and spent the better part of an hour and a half, I guess, with these attorneys. I got them to understand the value of the case. And I could see in the back of their mind, too, this case is going to take a lot of time. Is there enough funny money out there for us to make any money on? And they came back and they said, okay, we like what you've done here. They had read the complaint that I prepared. They said, this is very good. It's excellent. Make a few changes. We can work with this complaint. We're satisfied with the complaint. But we want absolutely perfect affidavits. So I could understand that. I said, it's going to take time to get perfect affidavits. I said, in addition to running these people down, they have a seminar going on this weekend. They're running off in 15 different directions. I have trouble locating them and working with them. So it took me the better part of 2 or 3 days to get the rough affidavits. And daily I was keeping contact with these attorneys. Tell them, I'm working on it. Don't get discouraged. We're running down the affidavits. You wanted perfect ones, we're making them perfect. When I met with them Friday, I could see that they had spent more time thinking about their funny money, and I didn't like the vibrations at all. And so that was rather a short visit, and I contacted another firm of highly reputable attorneys. I don't know why I hadn't thought about them before, but I'd worked with one of their main attorneys years and years ago on many big cases up in northern Nevada, where they're very experienced with corporations, civil litigation, and I have a call into them. I expect a call back in the next few hours. What I worry about, and I was present this morning, spent some time with Eustace over the weekend and with Bob, and have some knowledge of the common law aspect of, and what might develop in association with the Constitutional Law Center or some adjunct to that. I'm concerned that we are not far enough advanced yet with the procedures. We haven't proven a lot of the procedures, and I was under the impression that we were going to spend a lot of time to develop those and perfect those procedures, because I see merit in it, but I also see a lack of merit in jumping too early into a situation. The situation that's presented to NCH right now with how we have caught these employees red-handed, how we have built an ironclad affidavit system that will support the any injunction, restraining order, recovery order that we want, along with the file of complaint, that can't be beat.
Yes, it can.
Well, that's... I hate to have a new pro-per or citizen and party brought into that when I see we have a guaranteed or almost guaranteed winning position using the established judicial process in Nevada.
Well, it depends on what you're trying to win. What are you trying to accomplish? Let's take the goal, and then we work back from the goal. What is the goal? What are you trying to do?
Well, the goal is in a separate lawsuit.
Let me clarify my position.
Well,
take the mic, would you, Bob?
I want to clarify my position in that I don't know anything about what's happened with Nevada or the corporations, and I'm not insisting or even suggesting that we look at that particular situation as a common law solution. I only brought this in to address the Eckers situation and their land home situation and see that as a prospective way to cure that situation. I don't want to impose my will on Gene on how to handle the Nevada situation. If he has solid affidavits, then the court will accept. I think that is where you will get your immediate action and curtail these people from spreading that confidential information around. So I support Gene in the sense that I think what he's done so far and what he's doing with the corporation should continue.
Well, we have to begin somewhere to look at these things. I don't think anybody, with the exception of possibly Bob and Eustace in this room, have enough information to even possibly go change this or whatever may be here. But unless we start taking a case that is a case and dissecting it, where do you start? A child starts by stumbling to its feet and falling down. Well, let's not fall down in the courtroom. Let's fall down here in this room. Let's discuss these things. Let's see alternatives. And then we can establish a mode of operation or how to proceed. You see, there are ways where court literally could represent himself in this. They have literally talked about him personally as if it is his corporation. Well, who cares whose corporation it is if a board of directors, for instance, authorizes him to act in behalf of Nevada corporate headquarters? He becomes the person. This is what's wrong with the system. So why can't we begin to integrate what we know to be correct, even though it is not a functional piece of literature? Let's not say NCH versus these parties, and let's name the parties, no et als. Let's say NCH with authority to and have a person.
Commander, because, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Was a constitutional right violated, Gene?
Yes, the constitutional right was violated.
Which one? What?
The constitutional right that was violated was the contract that was entered into by at least two of the parties, the non-competition agreement. That's a contract.
All right.
And that's protected by the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution.
Even though the copies have been secreted away?
Oh, that doesn't matter.
So that's the only violation you can go after under common law, is that not right?
No, not under constitutional law and under common law.
Right.
What else is there?
Well.
Yep. Well, do they have a right to take information off your computers and go start a business?
That's theft or trade secret.
Now that's
right.
That's theft.
Yeah.
So that becomes criminal.
No, criminal law.
That's not criminal. I mean, that's not constitutional.
It's a criminal law.
And that's our first cause of action in the complaint. I have complaints in the office over there.
Well, the question is, can this case be used
in the manner the commander suggested it, in the manner,
right.
Absolutely not. Be the worst thing we could do.
Why not?
Well, and you're assuming the commander's commanding. The commander's trying to just stay in this meeting.
Okie dokie.
Well, I'm trying to establish what we're talking about here because this is what we're talking about.
We are not ready. We are not ready yet to proceed with the common law approach as laid out by David Miller.
Okay. So, in your opinion, this is not a good test case to use. Bob James is shaking his head no also.
Bob James always shakes his head no.
No. Well, he gets in trouble when he shakes it yes.
From my years of experience, why would you take a horse by the name of Seabiscuit or Secretariat and put a 500-pound horse outrider on top of it? If you have a winning situation...
That'd be like putting you in
hand. Yeah. If you have a winning situation legally before the courts, you sewed up every little detail. You have put together six of the finest affidavits I've ever seen in my life, which completely prove the entire conspiracy, the wrongful acts, the use of the wrongful acts, the intent for further use. When you're in that situation, why would you bring on a new entity to present it to the court? Use the established and maybe wrongful court practices and procedure, but let's use that at this stage of the game.
If I may, Gene, the problem historically through all of these cases has been, and the experience that I have garnered is that attorneys are there for nothing other than to extend their payments. And are we not once again entering into an endless round robin of attorney fee, attorney fee, attorney fee? That's what I think everybody wants to avoid.
See, it seems very cut and dried to you, but so did it seem cut and dried when officers had to go out and make George Green dig up money that he had stolen and take it to the court, and now 3 years later, they still have it.
Yeah, but at least having our friend George Green go out and dig up all that money and bring it in the court, that was done through the established legal procedures. The fallacy in that case, the weakness in that case, is there was a couple loose nuts attorneys who should never have been attorneys, who violated every legal, moral, and ethical part of their attorney's code and ethics to prolong everything.
Why haven't we gone after them?
We will go after them. But first of all, you can't go after them until you complete this particular case here. And then you can go after them for all the wrongful things, plus the recovery for the loss of use of the gold for 3 or 4 years. And I've discussed that prospective advantage situation with EJ on several occasions.
We don't count EJ.
I have to count EJ.
Well, we have to. We have to learn, and this is the only way we can learn, is to take what we have with which to work and work at it. And then each little step that we play, it's called game playing and rehearsal, and you really appreciate that, Gene.
Yeah, I certainly do, and I appreciate the fact that it seems like every damn time we get in a situation, we draw the worst of attorneys, and I don't know if that's good for us or bad for us.
Well, it's good for you because it keeps you in the turmoil long enough to begin to seek other ways. And once you seek other ways, you find them. So it's the grounds upon which you build all other things. And that gives us cases to look at, just like we are right now. It doesn't mean that anybody's going to go out and change anything, except that I can guarantee you if there are hard feelings between lawyers and the corporate and the client, you better clear that one up right away and get an outside attorney. Just don't even spend a dime on it, funny or otherwise.
Okay.
That's just my observation. It doesn't mean that court has to do it. You have to do it. It's just a real shame that we do have such talent And it gets bogged down outside your ability to keep control of it.
Let me first put one thing on the record here. My loyalty is and has always been to everyone in this room right here. I'm well aware of the defects of my fellow, or used to be fellow attorneys out there, and I concur in 99% of those. But if I make any suggestion, it is always with the best interest of how to best protect everybody here. It is a terrible, I should tell you, I raised 7 brothers and sisters. I protected them from every little accident. I gave up any time of playful activity that I had to help raise 7 brothers and sisters. And then to compound that, I had 8 kids of my own. I have taken care of people all of my life. I don't know how to get out of the habit of taking care of people. And this is, I'm getting worried here about some of the things that I see that are happening that, to me, threaten my ability to take care of people that I love and respect in this building right here. The gold situation. We have a hearing on March the 24th before Judge Gamble for the release of the gold. Now, this has gone on for too many years. Judge Gamble made his feelings known about us almost 2 years ago, and he's been able to manipulate the courts as the judge can, and we still haven't got the gold coins. If we don't get those gold coins on the 24th, I would suggest that then may be a perfect opportunity for this common law procedures that we're talking about. But let's don't jeopardize anything on the gold until that date when we know which way the judge is going to go, because he may go our direction.
Wouldn't that be different?
Yes. Now in the situation...
If he doesn't, we have more ground to go against him.
Right. And it may be a perfect case for the common law approach. And by that time, we'll have a lot more information under our belt, a lot more knowledge.
Well, we have a date then on the 24th.
Yes, March for the hearing.
After that, who's hammering? Because we need to hammer. That's what I feel.
And the advantage on this case is that, I mean, the one with court, is that we are taking the offensive. We are the plaintiff.
Right.
They are the plaintiff. So therefore, you control the motions.
That's right.
That's a real good point.
One of the other aspects of this is we have the names of the people who have incorporated for privacy. And all of a sudden, those names start showing up on government files or something, you have an endless amount of lawsuits coming back at you. So you better shut the thing down as
quickly as possible. Right.
Well, that would be my issue with going into any new direction. See, how much time would it take us to learn that?
Right, right.
Exactly.
Put everything together, and this has got to come down.
And nothing would stop doing it that way anyway.
No.
Right.
You can go ahead with what you've got prepared now, and as it would become more advantageous to switch, we can still switch.
This is all about, you know, the justice of the situation and also putting down enough heat on them that it scares the shit out of them. They don't
right.
go into business.
But also protecting your fiduciary position.
Absolutely.
Because if those names start leaking out to the government and they have tax consequences against your client, you've got problems.
Well, it's another... Just look at the variety of cases that you have to play with. From... the RTC and Santa Barbara Savings stealing a house, no sale. It points up the fact that the system is so crappy as it is, and unfortunately it always boils down to the judicial people involved, lawyers, judges, and the system itself. So all I'm asking, because you see, I don't care. We can begin to spin off these corporations so they don't even touch us anymore as we grow. But that's not our purpose. That's why I say let's look at the goal and what do you want to accomplish. So I think we need to, and this is, once again, just an exercise, and let's look at what this is. What do you want to accomplish? Well, you want to accomplish an instant shutdown of the use of your materials. Now, that's basically what US&P claimed they wanted. But you see, it got so corrupted in the system that George Green was even served the papers, and he pulled out his father's driving license and said he wasn't that person. And then he was able to do his side dealings. Well, are these guys going to go somewhere and do some side dealings and filter off and sell that information? There's no way now that they have it that you can ever again know that you've reclaimed it unless you inform all of your clients. You've got to inform all of your clients and make some public statements about this so that any of them and the names of the corporations, Nevada Corporate Solutions, anyone hearing from them, any client hearing from them, must inform you. Now, I don't know how you do this, but you make public announcements. And maybe you just say, we are not responsible for anything from Nevada Corporate Solutions. And maybe you run it 3 times in the paper. I don't keep up with those things. I don't care. But you must. We have had the opportunity to have some of you have to stand in court protecting information at the risk of going to jail. EJ, when he finally was forced to produce a partial statement, he did. He brought forth the very one that housed Janssen Tootin's accounts. And I'm telling you, before you got back from Carson City, that what was supposed to be in camera to the judge released to everybody, and before the week was out, George Green had sent that document from Wilmington Trust, the most private piece of information in a business. He had sent it out in his to everybody mailings. So you've got to stop that. And that means that every client has to be informed, and you have to make public statements, give us something to run in contact, because a lot of those early clients came this way, from this source. And if it bogs down over there and they lose their privacy, we lose our credibility. You know, Hakon did it.
You also engender tremendous liability. It's not credibility, it's liability. The horse is out of the barn. They've got the names and running with it. If those names are turned over somehow, inadvertently, no matter how it happens, to the IRS or any other agency, and those people start to get sued, they're going to come right back to Nevada court. And so to that end, I think Gene should follow through with what he's got going immediately, if not sooner, to shut that whole thing down. But you have incurred liability already.
And if they have mailed anything, they are guilty of mail fraud.
Well, Commander, Rod Court and myself did put together a letter that is being sent out to every one of the clients. And I have discussed with both Court and Ron that one or two of the very major attorneys who handle a lot of the corporations for their particular states that are real good patrons and clients of NCH, that those persons should be met personally by Court and sat down and shake their hand and make sure that they're not signing over to the other corporation. Because we do know that a couple of these bad conspirators were in very, very close contact with those major suppliers. So we are taking the steps that the commander has just suggested that should be done.
Great.
Now, can I get on to one other subject?
No, we're through with Gene.
We don't want to hear any more of that.
Sorry, Gene.
Oh, does that mean that I can go or shut up?
Yeah, go.
Either.
Okay. All right. This is the one that I see developing a problem between the two of us, and I don't want that to develop. I wanted to just resolve it. And that's with the present situation and the contempt action. First of all, how it was brought to the attention of the court. A contempt action can be brought to the attention of the court by any person who knows of the contempt action and the violation. It does not have to be brought to the court by a officer or a director or anybody like that. Anybody who knows of the contempt action and believes there's a violation can file a thing with the court and can bring a contempt action, initiate it. Now, after this contempt action was served, there was a lot of discussion between me, EJ, and a variety of other people as to the fact that We now had a lot of information that the copyright that Mr. Walter Russell had originally obtained was wrongfully obtained.